and pervert. They constantly portray abnormal sexual behavior as being normal. Even in high school, in the world of homosexuals, lesbians, sadists, masochists, and other sex diseases. Glorified, unnatural sex acts. It's thrilling. It provides kicks to be a homosexual, a sadist, and every other kind of deviant.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And everything in between.
Welcome to Kinky and Geeky, an educational, conversational, entertainment, all podcast for all things, well, geeky and kinky. We're your hosts. I'm Fox.
And I'm Loki.
We're both members of different
and overlapping
kink and nerd communities.
Be warned, this podcast contains subjects of an adult and sexual nature.
So if you're not of legal age, or if it's illegal for you to listen to this because you're Amish or incarcerated or whatever, please turn this off now. So, what are we talking about today? Like the intro you just heard, I'm Fox.
And I'm Loki.
And this is the Geeky and Kinky podcast. So I guess the first question everybody's going to have is, which one of us is geeky and which one is kinky?
Both.
Yeah, that's... The answer is yes.
We are fans of everything in between and of the tween and in... I already said in between. That doesn't work.
Yeah. And I'm not really a big fan of tweens.
But, no, you know, okay, all right, clarification, not a fan of the pedophilia, not okay.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff on here, and a fair amount of it we're probably actually not going to be fans of ourselves. Part of the idea here is that we're going to be doing educational podcast work, We're educating the masses.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, masses.
Yeah. And neither of us are by any means or stretch of the imagination a professional in, or an expert really, or a master, or between Fox and myself at least.
Yeah. We're going to try to get on some people that are more professional than we are.
Yeah.
But for the most part, this is. I don't want to say it's anecdotal, because that's just a certain flaw in any teaching.
Yeah.
But we're going to do research. We're going to make sure that we can source things that we say when we're making broad statements. But for the most part, this is going to be coming from personal experience of our own or secondhand experiences, in the hopes of helping others maybe not fall into some of the pitfalls that either we or people we know have, which brings us, I suppose, we should talk about why we're doing this.
Well, I guess the basis of it was I had an idea. I listen to a crap ton of podcasts.
Yeah, we both have. I feel bad right now. I think I have something like 100 episodes of different podcasts that are in my backlog right now.
Yeah.
And it really means that I need to just listen to podcasts and do nothing else for about 3 months if I'm going to actually catch up. So yeah. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But
yeah,
so we both listen to a bunch of podcasts.
And at least for me, I know I found, as an individual who is involved in the local kink community for where we are on the level of what the community is, a lot of what I had to learn through either asking that awkward question of like, hey, is it okay if I, you know, snap this single tail in the middle of the dungeon and just get, you know, have the professionals all just kind of look at you with that disgust. but I never really found any educational information out there for me.
Yeah, and I'm coming to it kind of from the opposite direction in a way, because most of the impetus for me doing this came from online experiences. That is to say, I had friends online that were into different things because of stories or pictures or whatever they'd come to on the net, and at some point decided, like, hey, I want to try this out in the real world. And kind of like you said, there's not really that kind of easy, like, hey, here's a transition from fantasy to reality.
Yeah. It's a weird world out there.
Yeah. And like, I had a couple of friends that actually got hurt because they saw stuff in porn or read stuff in stories and decided to try things out, and not knowing some of the extra stuff, not knowing the context, got in trouble with themselves and with their partners and stuff like that. So we're going to be covering a lot of different things. We're going to talk about language. We're going to talk about specific kinks. We're going to talk about broad things. But that's on the kinky side. We are kinky and geeky. So we'll also be talking about the other side. We're going to have...
The other side really falls into, like, I would say the glue that ties Fox and myself together on a certain level.
Right. We're not a couple of guys that got together because we met in a dungeon one day and just that smack worked.
Yeah. Although, in theory, I think we did, in sorts, meet in a dungeon. It just happened to be referred to as our friend's apartment, and we were crawling through a dungeon with D20s.
Yeah, that's pretty true. As that was more of the dank dungeon than the fun dungeon. But yeah. When it comes to who we are, we're not just dedicated to the kink community. I mean, we're a couple of gamers and sci-fi, anime, whatever fans.
Yeah. Kind of broad. I think the best part is that we cover very different spectrums while crossing over onto very similar spectrums at the same time.
So, like, for example, my moniker here, Fox, is pretty clearly because I've been a part of the furry community for a while. I'm a big video game player, play a bunch of role-playing games, and then, you know, sci-fi movies and TV and stuff like that. And so, you know, that's where most of my geekery lands, but I know you've got, like, the airsoft.
Yeah. I mean, my geekery is far more obscure.
I think just specific.
I guess specific. It is very specific because I play and build airsoft rifles. And handguns and really get into kind of the geekiness of, like, hi guys, I'm gonna for those of you who don't know, airsoft is military simulation LARPing. I get dressed up like a soldier on the weekends and I shoot people.
But don't tell any of the people on the airsoft range that they're LARPing.
They will. They'll flip a lid.
Well, they'll shoot you.
They'll shoot you, for sure.
It'll be with an airsoft gun, so it's not going to kill you, but it'll still hurt.
Yeah. So if you're a masochist and you're into that, feel free to get a hold of us. I have friends who would love to just shoot you.
Now there's a weirdly specific kink to dig into. Some naked dude on an airsoft range doing the military cosplay masochism gunplay.
Oh, there's
sub.
You know, that is a whole. I have met people who. It's bizarre because up until recently, like, there's the gun fetish thing that people have, where it's that power control and there's just the idea of, like, whoever the bottom or the submissive is, you know, is into having the top have this level of power of, like, I could take your life. And whether they're using a real gun, a toy gun, a prop of some kind, you know, that's their thing. Up until recently, I didn't think there was actually a Rule 34 for airsoft. I'd looked. And as being part of the fetish community and a member of fetish websites, I'd never seen it. Recently, I found someone who they want to be tied up and shot at. So...
Well, that is Rule 34, right? And again, yeah. Since this is supposed to be sort of beginner friendly as well as friendly for those that are in depth in whatever, whatever interest brought you to this, which is hopefully tons of things.
Yeah.
Rule 34 is I think it actually came from XKCD originally, but yeah. It's Rules of the Internet number 34 is if it exists, there is porn of it.
Yeah.
There's a couple of corollaries, like if it exists in male, there's female porn of it. Yeah. And if it doesn't exist, then porn must be made of it.
Yeah. But... And yeah, that's one of those crossover points of like, oh yeah, I forgot about Rule 34. if it exists, there is porn of it. But yeah, so for me, it's between that and like, I like cars. I like real firearms too, but I have a very, very, very healthy respect for real firearms. I would never use or abuse or misuse them in any way, shape, or form. So if you have a problem with the fact that, you know, I like to be somewhat of a sexual deviant and I like guns, please don't send us any douche mail about it. I really don't need to hear it.
We should set up, what is it, like, complaints at kinkygeeky.com.
How about we just set it up as, we just have it set up as douchemail at kinkygeeky.
There you go. If you have any complaints, send it to douchemail at kinkygeeky.com. Okay, now we're going to say kinkygeeky.com a whole bunch of times in this podcast. So forgive me. Forgive both of us that eventually this is going to probably sound like, I don't know, Kinky Inky or Kinda Inky or Kinky Slinky or something, because there's only so many times you can put two icky words next to each other and yeah. actually keep them straight.
Well, and if somehow one of us is tired or sick or something and we say it and it comes across in a language that you happen to speak as something foul or vulgar or inappropriate, or we've just called your mom a donkey-loving, you know, child of a dragon or something,
then please email us, because I want to know how we did that and do it again.
Exactly. We aim to insult.
Right. If you can listen to every podcast that we put out and never at some point get squicked or irritated or angry or embarrassed, then we haven't been digging deep enough into our subject matter.
Or your deepest, darkest fears.
Yes. I don't have a follow-up for that.
Perhaps.
All right, podcast over.
Mayhaps we should explain the term squicked, because
right.
I know for myself, when I came into the kinky community, and by the time I'd been into the actual kinky community, I'd already been geeky for several years. I had never heard this word.
Do you have a year that you became geeky?
A year that I became geeky.
Well, you said you'd already been geeky for several years.
Yeah.
So
well, okay. I could get, yeah, actually, yeah, there's a year. I mean, I growing up, I would say I have a year I came out as being geeky.
I can't believe we're having the when did you come out conversation, and it's on the geeky side of the podcast.
Well, it's because I haven't come out about anything else yet with the people that are important.
Oh, okay.
The people who would have a heart attack.
I'm not important.
You are important.
Aww.
You, sir, are very important. That's a conversation for another time when I don't have a microphone in front of me.
Yeah.
We shall leave no evidence. I haven't come out to the people who might have a heart attack when they find this out.
Right.
That is subject matter that we may cover at some point in this because it's getting closer for me to probably do that and deal with that. But that's a whole different conversation for a whole different time.
And that, that can come as it's due.
Yeah. But as far as when I first kind of accepted the fact that I was geeky, probably my sophomore year in high school. It's probably the first time ever that I made and rolled up a character for D&D. Because up until that point, I liked Star Wars, and I was like, oh, okay. But I was kind of a music nerd of sorts. But on that level, like, I was that cool kid who listened to awesome music at school. and would, I always had, like, the coolest shit. I hung out with some kids in one of my classes at lunchtime, and they're like, hey, you ever play D&D? And I'm like, no.
So this is great, because you have the when I discovered story.
Yeah.
And I always knew I was geeky. From my earliest days, I always wanted to be one of the cool guys because I had admitted early on that I was not. And to the point of, I know a number of our dear friends, and actually wouldn't know you probably, since I know you kind of through them, because in junior high school, I went to the role-playing club that one of our friends had established, and I didn't know anybody there yet, but I thought, you know, I'd heard about these role-playing games and Dungeons and Dragons and stuff, and I thought, maybe people will think I'm cool if I go to that. which shows you how far down on the ladder I was when I thought, you know, maybe I can improve my straits by becoming a gaming geek.
You were just a few decades too soon.
No, it's true. I actually had, I remember very clearly a friend of mine in school trying to get me to say sup. Like, you know, meaning I'd say, what's up? And he'd go, no, sup.
Sup.
Like, what's up? Sup. What's up? It's, no, it's just sup. I'm like, I don't know, nothing. It's like, no, you say it like it's not a question. It's just a thing that you say. And I'm saying, aren't you abbreviating what's up? Yeah, but you're not actually trying to get somebody to say what's up. You're just, it's a thing you say. And this conversation went on, I shit you not, for like an hour. He finally gave up on me being able to appropriately greet people of my age. As much as I will complain about being sort of on the outs and the geek side, I was desperate to be in on the inside. So I did a lot of stuff that I was extremely uncomfortable with. But that's actually something that I think we'll talk about here, is that became a part of my modus operandi, is that if something makes me really uncomfortable, if there's something that just sets my teeth on edge, I'm either going to do it or try it or figure out why it is that it makes me feel that way. Because it's how I got over social anxiety, essentially, was just going like, okay, this makes me really uncomfortable, but I know I should be going out and talking to people. So I'm going to go out and talk to people. Yeah. And when I found something else that made me really uncomfortable, I said, well, going out and talking to people worked out well. I better try this too.
Yeah. No. I mean, that is actually something that I think will be awesome to cover on a myriad of subject matters, because that can be used. I mean, I've seen that used to help with social anxiety. I've seen that, you know, as a way to help treat Asperger's syndrome. I've seen that used in a number of ways. I've also seen that used as ways to help people push back past walls.
Yeah.
I'm in the dungeon and watching, you know, someone get the shit just beat the fuck out of them, you know, and then at a certain point, if you know the person, you can usually tell how much they can or can't take. But if it's maybe someone you know, but you've never had any interactions with before, or they've never had any interactions with the person that's topping them, that top will then go and they'll be like, why is this so hard? What's going on? I know you can push through this, and they'll talk them through this, and it's something that it's very much the same, and that's something that is a podcast in itself.
Oh yeah, definitely. Barriers. I mean, I can think of three there. It's the determining barriers and discussing them. There's building your own barriers and deciding where they are, and then there's pushing through barriers that you want to move. I mean, that's a lot of experience to talk about, I think.
And it is. And ironically, I just realized we went off on a tangent, and we are back almost to where we were when I started, you know, in the King community. I had never heard this word, squicked. So I think we should probably let them have a definition of squicked.
That's a good idea, and I don't have the Inception noise, or I'd do that right.
that'd be a good noise to, ha-ha, we came full circle. So what is your definition of squicked?
So to me, squicked is anything, be it the thought, the picture, the description, the sound, that just makes you go, and I yeah. know that's a really scientific and specific term, but if you think about it, you know those things where somebody said like, oh yeah, I just shoved this nail up under my toenail, and you go,
yeah, no, that is a perfect, that is a, I kind of sort of wish that this was a video podcast so you could see the faces he was making, but really we're trying to protect our identities here, so the anonymity works. I had no clue what that word meant the first time I heard it. Someone said, oh, they totally squicked me out. And I'm like, squicked? What the? What?
My favorite thing about squick is it's almost onomatopoeia. You get an idea of what it feels like, just squick.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is. And I was like, I think I get it, but I don't. And it really took someone being like, saying, oh, I just totally squicked you out, didn't I? When they said something to me that just totally chills up the spine and just made me... It was that, like the first time I watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Just...
Oh, no, you're not one of those clown people, are you?
I hate clowns. I know a few people out there who are clowns, and I'm sorry. If you ever dress up as a clown in front of me, I will punch you in the face.
And it'll go honk.
Yeah. Don't. I loathe clowns. As much as Doctor Who hates the Daleks, I hate clowns. But it was a term that I was just like, what is, and that was kind of one of the first things. Like I had known what submissive was. I knew what a master was. I knew what a mistress was. I knew what a dominant was. I kind of knew what a dom, D-O-M-M-E, was. I had my guesses. Female dominant. But that was the one word that I was kind of like, what is that? There are a few other things, but those are more like names of activities that I was like, what is that?
Right. And some of the stuff that got me when I got into the kink community was like people talking about like aftercare, that made sense.
Yeah.
But subspace. Well, first of all, I was a geek long before I found the kink community.
Yeah.
So when somebody said he really put me into subspace fast, I went, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see how that can be confusing.
And I know we're not explaining a bunch of these terms here, and that's because we're going to do a podcast that's pretty much just going to be language.
Yeah.
We should talk some about the format.
Yeah.
Because that's why we're not doing that podcast right now is we want emails. We want you, the listener, to send us questions, feedback,
tweets, post on our Tumblr account if you have a question. I swear I'll get that thing set up right.
I looked at the Tumblr setup, and if you can post something on there and I can find it between all the dog cocks, it'll be a not real ones, dog people fucking, it's all furry.
Send us your inquiries. I'm going to get us I'll put up a FetLife profile just for the podcast. So if people want to get a hold of us there, maybe they don't like Twitter.
Right. Well, we do have a Twitter. We're at Kinky Geeky. And we have an email. I'm leaning into my microphone as I say this.
Because he wants to sound awesome.
We should do the whole podcast like this.
It would be my pleasure.
And now everybody that's listening to us on headphones is going, ow.
Yeah. They're like, ah, why are you doing this?
It sounds like liquid in my ears. So, yeah, we're Kinky Geeky on Twitter. You can find our website at kinkygeeky.com. And we have an email. You can email us at podcast@kinkygeeky.com. That's podcast@kinkygeeky.com.
Yeah, and then the Tumblr is kinkyngeeky.tumblr.com. So kinkyngeeky.com, all one word at the beginning.
Yeah. So let us know. We want to hear about you, the listener. We want your advice. We want your questions. And we're going to do podcasts on a bunch of different subjects. We're going to try to announce what the next podcast subject is at the end of the current podcast, but I'm not going to make any promises.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely have it up on the website and the Twitter and stuff like that. And that way, like, we're going to do a podcast. The next one will probably be on language. We're going to talk about a bunch of the terms that we're going to be using in here. Stuff like you said, DOM, sub, subspace,
just Dalek, so that whatever. You, the listener, will have a reference point and you won't be so in the dark.
Right. But that being the case, we want you to be able to send in, like, hey, I keep hearing people say Shibari. What the hell are they talking about? And we can actually answer that because we can, I'm sure, think of a whole bunch of terms and define them, but there's a good chance that we're going to miss whatever you're curious about and probably cover a bunch of stuff that everybody knows.
Yeah. So, and there's, like we said before, like, neither one of us are professionals. Neither one of us, we can only speak from the experience we have had. And we will cover subject matter of things that maybe squick us out, we will never delve into illegal practices on the level of endangering animals, children, or the elderly.
We will probably touch on subjects like that at some point, as in it will come up in conversation. But when we're giving advice will be don't.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for
don't.
Yeah, if you're looking for what state is BCLD legal in, there are answers to that, and you're not going to get them from us.
Yeah. No.
If you want to know what the age of consent is in every state in the United States, use Google.
Yeah.
Not us.
Yeah, Google is a fantastic tool. Literally, Google is a fantastic tool. So use that. Use it to your heart's content. And, Wikipedia. Wikipedia is out there. You can use Wikipedia for that. But
yeah, the point is that if you do have questions also, and you don't have to wait for us to spontaneously generate that as a podcast topic. So if you are wondering something kinky or geeky or, hell, I like this girl that works in the cubicle next to me and she's got a cat of nine tails hanging on the back of her chair. What do I say? send in because... That's hot.
What you should do if that girl is there, send her over to me and I'll send her back to you. Because, good God, actually, no. Send me the address of where you work because I want to work there too.
Yeah, I'd like to work where I could hang a cat of nine tails on the back of my chair and not get busted for it.
Yeah, I would much rather work somewhere where the people I work with aren't going to judge me for being me.
See, that's why I want to work where I've been applying.
Yeah.
Yay for being circumspect. All right. So that being said, we do have some ideas for our podcast structure. Today's podcast is obviously a little different than the norm because this is the introductory, here we are, here's who we are, here's what we're trying to do kind of thing.
We just want to give you guys the chance to build a rapport, I guess, of sorts with us. I guess rapport is the wrong word.
Well, no, it's kind of right because both of us have talked about this before. One of the reasons why we wanted to do this podcast is because we listen to a number of other podcasts. And one of the things that's really awesome about the medium of podcasting is that you can get to know the people behind the mics.
Yes.
And feel like you're a part of the conversation.
Yeah. Some of the podcasts I listen to, I feel like I could go and be the best of friends with the people who host them.
Yeah. I feel like I could go sit down with their Nerdist crew and, get a couple of burritos and enjoy them.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly. So, and I definitely feel like I could go and spend an hour listening to the guys over at the Titus podcast just ranting about conspiracy theories and laugh with them because sometimes they're serious, but then sometimes they're not.
Right. So there is going to be something of a format. Like I said, there's not a format this week because, well, like, obviously, we don't have any email. Because none of you know to send us email yet.
As we're recording this, we are sending out telepathic messages to all of you. Send us your emails.
All right, if you can send in an email before this podcast is done, we will read it on the air and then have you personally in on the podcast.
Because that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, then you're going to go win the lotto or something, so
yeah,
you don't care
about likely.
Us.
Yeah, most likely. So, why would you even... Because you probably, at that point, already know what we're going to say to answer it.
Maybe it's a really specific kind of premonition. Like, they can't see into the future. They can just see into future podcasts.
That'd be... But then they might know what we answer.
Well, if that's the case...
Because then they're looking
at... If that's the case, then... Write in, let us know, and we'll start reading the lotto numbers on future podcasts.
Yeah. So.
Right. Structure.
But,
structure.
But at that point, if we do that, you owe us quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, we're splitting that down the middle.
Yeah.
Right now, we're just sort of doing an open whatever comes to us. In the future, we're going to have a subject. We're going to probably intro with a bit of background on it, and then we're just going to talk about whatever's going on. We're gonna try to do a link of the week. What do we call it, geek link or a kink leak?
Yeah.
Geek, see, I told you I was gonna
geek,
do it.
It's geek link and kink link.
Nasal.
It's okay, I'm nasal right now because I'm
well I hate how that just sounded in my headphones.
Nasal.
We're horrible. And we haven't even started. Yeah. All right, so we're going to have a couple of links. We're actually going to do that this week. We're going to talk about what's been going on with us for the last week or so. Then we're going to get into whatever the topic is at hand. We're going to read emails and talk about that. Yeah. And hopefully for a lot of these, we're going to have a third party on. We're going to have a guest of some sort that can speak either with some experience or with some authority on whatever it is we're talking about.
Whether they be a teacher or a student.
Yeah.
So.
Or really cute. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll get the really cute ones in here, too. I know a few of those. You definitely know a few of those. So.
Nobody can see my smile, but it just dinged.
Yeah. We need to get a triangle sound every time Fox
Bing.
Smiles.
Bing.
But yeah, yeah, it's definitely going to be a very informative podcast. We're going to try and keep it very personal, though, because we want you, the listener, to be able to maybe go out and play the same games that we're playing right now. To get to have the things. And sometimes our subject matter...
I think go out and play the same games works really well, because that's, on PlayStation or in the bed,
it's play the same games. But I definitely also think that the biggest thing that we have to reiterate is that the podcasts aren't always going to be about the kinky. You know, sometimes our subject matter maybe will turn into just about the geeky. Like, oh my God, what did you see? What happened on Doctor Who? Or you know,
and I think we're both going to probably fall down a pit when the Metal Gear Solid, Zeros.
Metal Gear's
it's Ground Zeros. And I want to punch Kojima in the nose. At the very least, Grounds Zero.
Yeah, but Ground. There's got to be some translation screw up there. At least they could have called it Ground Zero. But hell, the first open world Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah,
I just came in my pants. Yeah.
I'm not putting in a sound effect.
No, don't. the best part is I've been like for the last, since Skyrim came out, all I have been talking to my partner about is, so I really want a Metal Gear Solid game that incorporates all the awesomeness of Deus Ex, Human Revolution, but I want it to be third-person stealth action like Metal Gear, but I want the humor of Borderlands and the vast open-worldness of Skyrim. And so maybe Kojima hit it on the head.
Apparently Kojima bugged your room.
I guess so. We'll see what happens.
That would explain Revolver Ocelot.
It, yeah, that would. God. So. Wow. That was probably like the geekiest conversation I've had in a few days.
Yeah, well, you're hanging out with me. What do you expect?
Yeah, this is true, but it makes me feel better.
So, yeah, obviously, these are the kind of conversations that you can expect moving forward.
Yeah.
So let's try a little bit of this structure. What have you been doing this week?
Well, okay, so this last week, mostly I've been working. Working.
Now, I got to say, you working, just because of your method of transport to and from work, you destroy me. I know I'm a little out of shape and I need to get back in, but how do you ride a fixie to and from work?
Well, the catch is I don't ride it the 20 miles to work.
Well, yeah, the whole bridge and everything would be difficult.
Yeah. You know, it's really like what it comes down to is I actually ride about 20 miles a day total. It's 4 miles from my, I guess we should preface this. By the way, we're in the San Francisco Greater Bay Area.
Right. That's as anonymous as we want to stay for, you know.
Yeah.
Just because we don't want to get anybody in trouble. We're not going to try to hide really that kind of detail of who we are. We are in the Bay Area. So, you know. Right now, we're right across the water from Pride Land.
Pride Land. I like that.
It just makes you think of a lion hanging out on top of the Bay Bridge holding his cub out over the...
Wow, that is so kind of almost Michael Jackson-esque. I can just see the lion wearing like a bandana and a big hat. Hey, your blanket.
If I were a better artist, I would draw that.
Except we can't call him Blanket. You have to call him Pillowcase. Because remember, we don't want to get sued.
Right. And Michael Jackson is... Wait, no.
Yeah.
Tasteless Humor. It will come up.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. We are unscrupulous.
Probably not going to have a whole lot of, say, Holocaust humor.
No.
But I won't promise that no Holocaust jokes will ever happen.
Yeah.
But I will promise we'll feel bad about it afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, no. There will be quite a few groans. Basically what it is from where I live, I ride my bike. It's about 4.5 miles from my house to the BART station I take to go to work. And for those of you who don't know, BART is our subway station out here in sunny, sunny San Francisco Bay Area, California. So I ride 4.5 miles from my house to the BART station. I hop on BART, and BART takes me. I should probably preface this with, I get up at 3:30 in the morning. So, get up at 3:30 in the morning, get dressed, throw on my bag, hop on my bike, ride to the BART station. Ride to the BART station, I get there. I actually don't leave my house till about 4:15.
So late and relaxing.
I know. But I get to the BART station about 4:30. It takes me about 15 minutes. It's like a 15-minute ride or so for me. It's a lot of flat land. There's like one hill, if that. And it's really not that big a hill. But then from there, I just take BART down to the very end of the line, all the way down to Fremont. Yes, I work down in Fremont. I'm going to name drop.
I don't think that's what people complain about when they complain about name dropping.
I know.
Baller.
I'm not going to tell you where I live or what city it is, but it is along the BART line, and there is a BART station within 4 miles of my house. So you are more than welcome to attempt to do that math, but the area that you would be covering is probably close to 1 million square miles. No, that's not right.
No.
Sorry.
But it is most of the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's a pretty good chunk of the Bay Area. Sorry, I was trying to sound smart there, but it didn't turn out so well for me. So then I hop off in Fremont, and I ride my bike 5.5 miles to where I work in Fremont. And that ride is a little bit more difficult just because of the route that I take, and it's the easiest route, which is the sad part. And there's only one hill on that. When I was working in Berkeley, I was riding a bike every day to work.
So,
you know, maybe it's just that I feel like a fat ass around you because I roll out of my bed at a lazy 6:45 in the morning. And
hey, hopefully soon I'm going to get that.
And I trundle down to my car and I drive into the city around 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So have you seen Premium Rush?
Not yet. No, not yet.
Because it's pretty much a love letter to Fixies in action movie form.
With Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And I love everything Joseph Gordon-Levitt does, apparently. So. Yeah,
so. No, it's I want to see it. It looks interesting. And yes, I ride a fixed gear. Call me a hipster if you want to fucking call me a hipster.
But
yes,
I've got the hipster rims.
I know. You, like, I don't.
And the goatee.
I had the goatee. I shaved the goatee.
That's true.
But I shaved the goatee for very specific reasons.
That's also true.
So that is something we'll get into in a little bit. No, I don't know. For me, I'm more confused because I do the exact same commute in reverse coming home. And it wouldn't be so bad if I were working an 8-hour day in an office.
Right. If you sat around all day.
If it was like, you know, it's like if I were working down at Google or something, like it would be a much different conversation.
But suffice to say, your day of work is not all
no.
relaxation and kicking back.
Yeah,
so,
no,
yeah,
no.
That drive
so
back, like, yeah, that's what kills me.
The ride home is always, it takes me the same amount of time, but it always feels like it's longer. And then even, it's made even worse by the fact that usually at that time, like, I happen to always be getting, like, I go to work before anyone else goes to work. I'm off work at the same time most other people are off work. So now I'm in a BART train with a fixed gear, hot and sweaty from the day already. I probably stink whether I put deodorant on or not. And now I have to be around all these other hot, sweaty, stinky people. And more often than not, the BART train's air conditioning isn't working.
Right. Because Bay Area, we pay for nothing.
Yeah. By the way, we are, or at least I can speak for myself. I cannot speak for Fox, but for myself, I am neither Democrat nor Republican. You can maybe call me an independent. I am a liberal conservative, a conservative liberal.
I'd say low-key more liberal conservative, me maybe more conservative liberal, but
yeah,
both of us. I'm sure politics will come up.
Yeah, at some point politics will come up. Here's what I can tell you. I do not support the overuse of gun control when it comes to harming law-abiding citizens with your laws. Demitards, stop it. All you're doing is ruining things for the people who follow the laws. You're not going to affect really anything when it comes to the people who are doing it. While on the other hand, I am 100% behind and support and love and could probably kiss Gavin Newsom on the lips and then do some other things to him that we won't go into detail here.
Later episodes.
Yeah. You know, for the publicizing of, you know, gay marriage. Come on. Like, seriously, pull your heads out of your ass. Separation of church and state. Just quit being stupid.
Like you said, we're going to try not to because I've been – I've had a horrible couple of days of news, and I'm just really not ready to talk about politics right now without just ranting for an hour. So we'll save that for some other
time. We'll save it for when we've turned the microphones off.
I'll go scream at you later.
and I'll just sit there and smile.
So, yeah, you've been working a bunch. This is
yeah. So I've been working a lot. Playing Skyrim. I mean, like, that's like, I haven't literally, Skyrim was the last new video game I bought, and good God, Bethesda did it right. And I have just, I beat the Dark Brotherhood quest within a day, you know, and I was the listener by, like, I was level 8 and I was the listener of the Dark Brotherhood. And my partner was just like, can you do that for me? and my partner is just as addicted. She is just as in love, with this as I am. It is good. Just that game is so addictive.
I don't know. I loved Skyrim. I played, I don't know, probably 20, 30 hours of it. But which sounds like, man, that should have been like, I beat it like four. Yeah, no, I got like hardly anywhere in that game. And it's been on my shelf ever since. And I just haven't been able to get back into it. Well, I don't know if it's that it's too daunting that I keep looking at it and going like, oh my God, there's 10,000 things to do.
Yeah.
Or if it just didn't catch me. I don't know.
I mean, that they just went like crazy nuts with it. Like, I thought my lady, she thought she was done with it. She thought she'd beaten everything. She thought she was done, but she only had these three quests that she couldn't complete because they were glitches. And yes, unfortunately, there are glitches in this that make it so that you can't complete some quests. Sorry. Spoiler.
Really? From a Bethesda game?
Oh,
glitches? I can't imagine.
Yeah. But so...
And for all of you that tuned in for the kinky side, I'm sorry, you have no idea what we're talking about right now. But stick with it, because the geeky side's fun, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, and then she picked it up again. She kind of, I was like, we'll make a new character. So she started playing a new character, and she got this character to, like, level 12 or 16 or something. And then she picked up the character that she went the furthest with, because that was her second character that she went the furthest with.
Sure.
The third character is the most recent one. And she just didn't like her first. It didn't work out how she made the character. And
it happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get along with them. Sometimes you don't.
No. And so she picked up her second character, and oh my, I mean, she just like, all of a sudden there were all these side quests that she hadn't, like, somehow she hadn't found them before or hadn't done. She turned into me like, have you done this? What about this? What about this? I'm like,
well, you know that it also randomly generates side quests.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. And like, I tried to explain that to her, and she wasn't quite getting it. She's like, but what do you mean? Like, you can't look. I was like, there's no, like, there's all sorts of random weird little things you can run around and go do to earn experience. You know, you don't necessarily have to, like, you know,
you don't have to just run through the main story.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the Bethesda open world games is you can really, like, make your own story. You can have your character be your character in the world to a point.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I've been playing a lot of that, and I've been kind of dragging my feet along playing this second character that I made. And I like the character. I really like the character. But I'm really...
I love that this is a video game we're talking about, and you're saying, I'm dragging my feet. Like, like somebody is forcing you to play this.
Like, well, and it's like, I want to play this character because it's a type of character I've never really played before. But I can't break my stereotypical character. I can't break away from the sneaky, sneaky, I'm going to come up from behind and kill you. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I need to. So I've got this character, and I'm trying to do two-handed weapons with him, and I'm trying to make him a brawler and go the heavy weapons route. But it's just, I can't.
See, my favorite character, the one that I did the most... Well, the one that I played the most with, but not the one that I got the furthest with, was a female Khajiit kleptomaniac. And the great thing, like I said, about the Bethesda games is that you really get to kind of put your own spin on what's going on. And so here's this Khajiit that would come into town, and she really wanted to be a good person, and she'd go and she'd take quests from everybody, and she'd start helping everybody out, and she'd rob them blind at night, and then in the morning she'd go sell their stuff back to them. I mean, it was...
Yeah. No, and that's my problem, is like, I kind of do the same thing where I have, like, I build this character. It's like, oh, it's a dark elf, and he's, you know, he's got greenish gray skin and purple eyes and spiky hair and all these scars on his face, and he looks like a badass, but he's a really fucking nice guy. Except that as soon as you turn his back, he'd probably stab you in the back and take all your money.
So my secondary was a blind Nord glass cannon. So he pretty much just walked through everything with fire spewing everywhere and killing everything.
Yeah. Well, and my second is it's a Khajiit And I'm really trying to make him into this brawler character. And just like, I'm just going to annihilate everything in my path. I don't care. You're going to die. But he's slowly turning into an archer. So maybe I'll take him down that road. So
that's a fair, like, split. You can do the archer when they're far away and then brawl as they get closer.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's what I've been playing as far as that. I have not gotten to tabletop game in months.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think that was the last time was your the last game we did with you.
So I've been trying to game tabletop wise, and I've got two games, one that I'm running and one that I'm playing, and they both just keep getting moved back. So I haven't done any tabletop either in a couple of months. Mostly I've been playing all over the place, a bunch of like downloadables and stuff like that. Like, I think I put more time on my iPhone lately than I have on my my TV games.
Too fat to fly?
No, I found this game, what's it, 10 million, I think?
Oh.
Which is like, it's a match 3 style game, but with a like dungeon crawler skin on it.
Huh.
So as you match tiles in the game, you're picking up like supplies or doing damage to the enemies that appear on the top of the screen, and you get deeper and deeper and deeper into a dungeon until you open up the next level, and then you get new abilities and stuff like that. So it's really just a, like, it's a grind that's added on top of a match 3 game. And,
all right.
And so it's a reason to keep going back other than just, like, getting a higher score. So that sucked me in for a few days. And, on the TV I've been... I got The Walking Dead.
Oh, nice.
The Telltale game.
Okay.
Have you played that yet?
No, I haven't.
You'll have to check it out after we finish up down here, because it's really cool. And it's off of the comic universe, not the TV universe.
Yeah.
So there are a few things that like cross over from the comic. Like people are mentioned or things that happen, but it really takes its own story. So you get to dig into like a whole new set of characters and situations and stuff like that.
Well, that's nice. That's good. Yeah. I haven't been to any play parties. I have to get you out to something. We're doing this, so
really vanilla lately.
Mostly. I think the last...
I don't know any of what that was supposed to...
I apologize. That was me trying to organize my thoughts in my very scattered brain. The last event...
I promise we'll get better at this as
well. So the last event I would say I went to, like, actual, like, kinda kinky event, would be the San Francisco Girls of Leather debauchery.
Oh, I heard about that.
It was at the White Horse. I was only there for, like, an hour. It was supposed to start at 7. Apparently, the burlesque show that was supposed to start at 7 didn't end up starting until 8:30. We had already left by then. That was probably like the last thing. Before that, I think I just went to an open play party at the local dungeon, which I'm now going to plug because I am a shameless whore for this place.
Plug away.
If you are in the San Francisco Bay Area visiting or otherwise, if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area and you've ever desired the ability to play somewhere where there's St. Andrew's crosses and spanking benches and kinky hardware, you just have to bring the toys yourself. Go check out the San Francisco Citadel Community Center. It is no longer called a dungeon. It is the San Francisco Citadel Community Center.
Do they have a softball team?
No. They may
have. Because that's what I did at the community center.
Yeah. No. they don't. They're
really good at it, though.
Oh, God. Yes, they would. Would have very, very, very soft balls after they got done with you. they might be a little mushy. But Yeah, go check out the San Francisco Citadel Community Center.
Do they have a website or something like that?
Yeah, I believe their current website is SF Citadel. It may be SF Citadel Community, but it is currently under construction.
Right. We'll have show notes for this. We'll try to tag them on the podcast itself, but we'll also have them on the website.
Yeah.
So links, whatever we talk about, will be there too.
Yeah. A good thing for you to go sign up for if you're listening to this, go check out FetLife, one word, FETLIFE.com. The best, literally, hands down, the best way I can describe it to you, for those of you who are internet savvy at least, or are at least into pop culture, FetLife, well, you know what? You're listening to a podcast. So
yeah, you
at least
kind of.
You know what Facebook is if you're listening to a podcast.
If you're listening to this and you have no idea what Facebook is, please write in because I want to know how you got this podcast.
Yes, please. I want to know. But no, FetLife is a kinky Facebook. That is the best way I can describe it. It's great for meeting people in your area. If you're single and you want to meet someone, I know people who have met and they're now married thanks to FetLife. It is a good tool. It is just like every other website. There are asshole douchebag people out there. Please understand. I do not endorse their actions whatsoever.
I guess we're into the link of the week.
Yeah. So I would, my best, I would, my kinky leak link, kinky leak.
this
bastard. Kink link of the week is going to be FetLife.com. Awesome resource if you want to meet people, learn things. FetLife, I don't really remember how I found FetLife. I think someone suggested it to me just like this.
I don't know. I've not used it myself, but I think half my friends are on it. And mostly have found each other on it too, which is a little interesting.
Yeah.
But, it's a really awesome resource. I mean, I have checked it out. I've been on there with friends and stuff. And being able to filter down to what interests you is really nice. Because especially in a community like this, I've been on the geek side so long, I want to say it's not a fandom. But in anything like this where there's such a wide variety of interests, it can get really daunting to go into some place and not know like if there's anybody else that's into the same thing.
Especially if you're coming in from personal experience, what I can tell you is I have what I consider to be a few odd kinks. Come to find out my odd kinks coming into this community weren't really all that odd, fairly commonplace. Maybe it's just that I found a whole group of people who are into the same thing and I got really lucky. But
we'll talk about that probably in the I don't want to say second half because we're already like an hour into this recording, but we'll see. We'll see how long we go today.
But no, FetLife is good. FetLife is great, even more so as a kink link. Of the week.
We're really smart for picking names like this, aren't we?
I don't know. We may have to figure out something better.
It's a KL.
Yeah, the KL. The KL for this week is FL. So you can go check out the Citadel.
okay, never mind.
No. The San Francisco Citadel has a group on FetLife that you can go and check out. They are just SF Citadel, one word. Search for them in the search bar up located up at the top right. And they will give you a list. You can go there and read posts on all the upcoming events, past events, classes that they teach, because throughout the week, the Citadel teaches classes. So
classes are good.
Classes.
That's one of the things that this podcast is here for, is to try to point you at stuff like that. Don't feel bad or don't feel like you should already know better or something like that. Go to classes.
Yeah.
If you're interested in bondage, find a ropes course.
Yeah.
If you're,
or even just a leather bondage course for that matter.
Right. You know, it just, whatever it is, there's probably a class out there. And I know we're really kind of biased and lucky here because we come from the Bay Area, so there is a class out there for whatever you happen to be into. But
one of the one of the really nice things about FetLife is the fact that almost everywhere, I mean, in the United States, has some level of leather alliance near there. Where they maybe teach classes. I mean, we are really lucky here to be able to have somewhere like the San Francisco Citadel Community Center who teach classes during the week on various things. I learned how to interrogate somebody. Like, like a cop, like a CIA interrogator. I have a crap ton of resources. Maybe I can get Danorama in here to interview at some point.
That would be
cool.
I'll
talk to him, find out. But
maybe not in here, but
well, not here, but in on the podcast to talk. But yeah, it's just learning that you don't interrogate someone like you see in the TV shows. That's not how it works.
Well, and again, that's and we'll come back to this later. But that's part of what got me into this is that I knew people that saw stuff like that. I'm like, well, that must be how you do it, and whoa, that can lead to some trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. You really, really don't want to. Yeah.
All right. So, my link, I went a little more towards the geek link, GL. I'm just going to go with geek link.
Yeah.
So you may or may not have heard of GamerCon, GAYMERCON. If you've been around the net.
Well, no, I've never heard of GamerCon.
It's been kickstarted recently, and they've successfully funded now. I think they asked for $25,000, and they made $98,000.
Holy crap!
Apparently people are interested in this. And kind of the idea was to make a gaming convention, a geek convention, that was a little more LGBTA letter friendly. Yeah. And that's something we'll talk about later on. I'm just going to stick with LGBT and y'all can suck it. But
that sounded like an offer. And that
that's for a different episode.
For a different episode.
Okay.
Radio silence.
No. Sorry.
No awkward silence.
So so GamerCon is going to be in San Francisco because, as they put it, it's the biggest concentration of LGBT and gaming and geekdom sort of all in one place. So they got totally funded. They made a bunch of their stretch goals. So there's going to be they've got a couple of special guests that they've already been talking to. Nobody's been announced yet, but they're looking for a venue. They got, like, obviously multiple times the number of attendees that they were expecting for an opening. So they already had to ditch the couple of venues that they'd started looking at so they could find bigger ones.
Yeah, that's kind of hard.
Well, no, in San Francisco, there's some awesome venues. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, but, I was trying to be sarcastic. It didn't come out right because I had to burp. I was like, yeah, that's kind of fun.
Well, okay, thanks then for the bad joke preferable to the on-mic belch. But in any case, check out GamerCon. Again, the link will be in the show notes, but it's just GamerCon.org. They got some really cool stuff. They're still going to be selling passes. Hopefully both of us will be there. It's going to be sometime later next year.
Yeah.
They haven't announced actual dates yet, but part of what really I dig about this is the kind of reactionary action that I like to see. If you've ever been to Fat, Slutty, or Ugly? I think it's actually a Tumblr,
but some of those sound kind of nice.
So it's Fat, Slutty, or Ugly is a place where women post Xbox Live messages that they've received. And it's because the general response to hearing, like, a female voice on live is, either you're fat, you're slutty, you're ugly, or, you know, tits or GTFO, and just some really horrible stuff. And the same goes for pretty much anything queer,
yeah.
You know, be it gay or trans or whatever. Yeah. The online culture these days is harsh, to say the least. It's disgusting.
Yeah. I had the first experience recently of being someone calling me a fag, and it was bizarre because all I wanted to do was chase after them and beat the living fuck out of them.
Yeah. And so GamerCon is like, hey, there are people like us out there too that don't like that this is part of the gaming culture. And I'm not saying that other cons are promoting this culture at all. PAX actually has done a ton to fight stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this is just specifically like, we're going to build a convention that is specifically designed to be a safe place for out gamers.
So, you know? Here's my question. Is it just video games?
So far, it's gaming.
Okay.
All they've really talked about is gaming. And they've talked about there being some tabletop and board stuff there, at least in a gaming room. So, you know, they've talked a lot about what they're hoping to do with the con, but the specifics are, of course, you know, we're going to have to see how it pans out when it gets there.
Right.
I think it'd be like, you know, personally, my dream for it is that somebody like Bethesda or Rockstar or maybe one of the locals will come and show some new info. We'll actually make some sort of announcement at GamerCon.
That would be
awesome. And just be like, hey, you know, not only do we support this, but we're going to make this a venue too.
Who knows? Maybe, who is it? Lion's Head?
Lion's Head?
Maybe someone from Lion's Head will show up with some information about a new Fable game. Who knows? That'd be kind of cool. I just know that they were at least Lion's Head with Fable. You could marry a dude if you were a dude. You could marry a chick if you were a chick. So, well, then again, we have EA. So EA could show up and, I mean, can you, as Fem Shep, hit on Tali?
Yeah, no, there's a... I don't know if there's a male. So I remember in the second... let's back up a little bit. We're talking about the Mass Effect game. No, not from the mic. I mean,
oh, sorry.
We're talking about the Mass Effect games.
There was a
pee
pop there, so I thought you were like...
Well, that too.
I popped the pee.
Yeah, don't pop the pee. That never is good in any definition. Sorry, he was taking a drink. Loki was drinking, right, and I couldn't resist. Anyway, we were talking about the Mass Effect games, and there's been, for the female version of the main character, there's always been another female that you could get in a relationship with and eventually have very PG-related rated sex with.
Yeah.
I think in the second one, there wasn't a male option. Like, there wasn't a male-male option in the second one, but in the third one, they did add in a male that was there for the male-male option, too.
All right.
So, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe with Mass Effect 4, Shepard's Revenge.
Don't say it. I've played so much Mass Effect. Mining.
Who knows? Maybe Shepard will run across Nathan Drake, and we can all have fangirl moments.
Hot.
There was a moment there where I thought I had made Fox kind of just die in a pile.
Sorry, I went all squiggly. All right, so that's a couple of links. I think that's a good place to start. And of course, we've got the show links that. We're going to try to reiterate it a number of times here. Email it podcast@kinkykiki.com and come see us at kinkykiki.com. Follow our Tumblr.
Kinky and geeky, all one word, .tumblr.com.
And tweet us at kinkykiki and, you know, just in general, be awesome.
Yep.
So we're going to take a little break here. It's not going to be any time for you, but we are in need of podcasting fluids. And then we'll come back and talk about us for a bit.
Yes, because I am a robot. I need to vacate my fluids for more.
Yeah, I almost thought that was going to go to a really bad place. So today, our podcasting fluid, I got the Samuel Smith's Organic Cider. It's an organic apple cider, and it is tasty.
Yeah, and I am drinking a Samuel Smith Old Brewery Oatmeal Stout. It's good. It's not as stouty as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I expected that to be a little, like, heavier. But this definitely has a lot of apple to the apple cider.
Yeah, and this does not have, this has far more, it's got far more of a beer flavor than an OD flavor.
And I just realized this isn't 5 proof, this is 5%, so this is actually a 10-proof cider.
Oh, wow, wait, where's this?
Bottom, mine's bottom right of the label.
Mine is not listed on the front of the label. I have to go to the bake. Either I'm blind.
Really? You sure it's not just right where your finger is on the, yeah, on that side, very bottom, on the right, underneath everything?
No, it says 1 pint, 2.7 fluid ounces, 550 milliliters, Samuel Smith Old Brewery. Sole agent merchant, Vin Corporation.
Vic Mia.
It does not say. So for all we know, I could be drinking 100 proof beer. It is literally not listed.
I want 100 proof beer.
Yeah, man.
I could actually get drunk on beer.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've gotten drunk on beer.
So, we're back.
Yeah. It took like a case.
I haven't been able to.
Yeah, no, you know what? I was really young at the time, and that's why I think it took a case, because I also didn't go pee.
Yeah, see, that's my problem. it's coming out of me faster than I can get it to go into me.
Yeah.
And that probably just squicked somebody. That's a callback.
I'm now, bad images. Yeah.
So, we're going to talk about each other. No, we're going to talk about ourselves. Talking about each other sounds rude.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about each other, or one another. Our individual proclivities that venture into the, I guess, at this point, because we've kind of broached on how geeky we are, this is now the point in time where we're going to broach on how kinky we are. Sorry, I had to jump away from the mic real quick. I don't think you want to hear a burp.
No, I agree with you, though. We mentioned that I run in some furry circles here, and I do want to clarify that that's on the geeky side of things. It is not my opinion that furry is a kink. Any more than, like, now it's my turn.
Yay!
I don't think that furry is a kink any more than, like, anime is a kink. And you can be into all the hentai you want, but that doesn't really make, you know, anime your kink. Unless it's all about just BESM, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess, but that definitely, on that level, where you're looking at hentai that is in the BDSM realm?
No. BESM.
BESM.
Big eyes, small mouth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. My brain doesn't want to work, apparently.
You've had 2 sips. They're going to blame it on the beer. So I just want to explain. He's only had...
No, 2 sips. No, well, okay. It's been more, maybe like 4 sips. But remember, we think it's 100 proof.
Right. Loki is drinking the devil's beer.
Yeah, I wouldn't really... I don't know if I would call fur a kink.
Now,
I would definitely call it more of a nerdism.
Yeah, now I'm definitely speaking personally.
Yeah.
And now, don't get me wrong, I like a lot of the... I'm going to say some words here, and I'm going to really hate myself for saying yiffy. artwork. No, I like the furry adult or erotic art, but it's a genre. It's like liking liking hentai or even liking an erotic set sci-fi story.
Let me break it down. Some of you may have seen an episode of CSI Las Vegas where they talked about furries. And there were these people running around in like high school or college mascot costumes humping one another.
So a couple of things there.
Fox is not one of those.
Right. So first of all, I don't have and have no particular desire for a, and again, more of these words, fursuit, which is the in-fandom name for those costumes that range from the CSI episode level of sort of mascot costumes to... I should look up the link. There's a thing... there's Sun Lion or Apollo Lion or something like that. There's this fursuit that... I mean, they're costumes that cost thousands and thousands of dollars and are extremely intricate, you know, works of art. And then there are ones that do fall into that kink category. There are, how do you say, strategically placed holes.
Yeah.
So when I say that furry is not a kink, I'm saying furry is not a kink for me.
Yeah.
It is for some people. But it is certainly not for the majority of people that identify as furry fans or furries or whatever, however you want to say that.
Yeah. And that, personally, there's nothing wrong with that. I have no real... I could not call myself a furry. Well, apparently I do have a fursona in the wonderful World Wide Webs. Of a webcomic.
That was imposed upon you.
Yeah. And while I love that character wholeheartedly, I would not say that that is me. I would say that is more of I am not that character. That character is me. I think that's the right way to put it.
Yeah.
Because while I love the character, my individuality is not based around who this character is and does and lives. But I do find it intriguing. I like the idea that, hey, oh, someone's taken like stuff that I have done in my life and made it into this kind of comic, amused, you know, cute, furry version. Okay.
So, we will probably cover a bunch of this stuff in the language episode too, including stuff that I've just said, like fandom or hentai. I'm sure,
yeah,
because I know that there are people that are going, duh, we've all heard that, but there are also people going, who's a what now? So
you said who and what now?
So, yeah, this is going to be about, I guess this is going to be about us on the kinky side, since we've already covered some of our geeky side.
And yeah.
I do want to emphasize some, because we have scratched the surface.
Yeah. And we hope to bring you more and delve deeper into a lot of that stuff later. For now, we're going to move on to a more, I guess you could say this is a more personal side of who we are, in a way.
Yeah.
Sure. Or form.
Not a wave form, though.
No. Well, I mean, no.
I suppose it does have a back and forth.
Yeah.
Anyway, personally, I think I can sum up my entire kink and sexual proclivities in one basic statement that requires a whole bunch of explaining.
Lucky bastard.
That, too.
No, I just meant that you were able to sum it up.
Ah, no, it's just metasexual.
Fuck you.
New words. Fuck you.
No, so check it out. So what I get off on, the thing that most excites me in any play situation is my partner's reaction.
You're a hedonist.
Sort of. Although a hedonist suggests also there's the personal enjoy all things, which I strive for at times, but is not really where the kink lies. The kink is in that if my partner's getting off, I'll enjoy it. So although I have tendencies, if my partner's into it, I'll get into it.
Sorry.
Did you just pass a gallstone? What was that face?
I burped, but I held it in and made it quiet, but I had to release it, and it was fizzy as it came out my nose.
I know there's somebody out there that is thinking, like, this is going to be hot. I'm going to listen to these guys talk about what? So, for example, and again, we're going to run through a bunch of phrases here, and we'll cover what they mean in particular probably in a follow-up podcast. But, like, age play is not a thing that attracts me personally. But I've really enjoyed it when my partner has been into it.
Fuck you. God damn. You have taken my understanding of who I was on a certain level, who I was, and kind of flipped it on its head by introducing a new label. So fuck you.
You know what the best part is? That label did not come from the kink community by any stretch of the imagination.
It doesn't sound like it.
I can link it. I could probably link the actual conversation, but I won't. But there's a geek forum that I participate in that at some point somebody had brought up kinks. Actually, they brought up fetishes, and I railed at them for using the word wrong. We'll also cover that in the language podcast.
Fetishes, small decorative things that people worship, right?
Right, or psychological fetishes, necessities.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm Loki likes pushing my buttons sometimes.
It's fun. I'm not called Loki for nothing.
So in any case, I was saying I don't really know how to describe, because there are a bunch of things that I like, but really I only like them, or I mostly like them because of the reaction it gets from my partner and stuff like that. And one of the other people in the forum suggested, oh, metasexual. And it was like, oh yeah, no, that's pretty much about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense. I was recently, another term that I could apply to a few people I know is the term demisexual, which is interesting because demi
sounds like kind of the opposite of,
well,
metasexual.
You would think, but actually demisexual has more to do with someone who is demisexual. And I myself cannot claim to be a demisexual. This is not how I see things. An asexual individual has little to no drive for sex itself.
Right.
That is not what attracts them to an individual. It is, they are not attracted to them sexually, generally in any way, shape, or form, to my understanding. A demisexual is someone who, they're not attracted to someone until they have a deeper emotional connection.
Hmm.
So the best example I could give you is, sexual person walks in on demisexual person. Hey, let's fuck. Demisexual person says, well, no, I'm not really attracted to you that much. Okay, well, we can still do something else. Can we make pancakes? Yeah. Okay. Now, sorry, I forgot to list the rest of that, but basically, demisexual rejects sexual person. Sexual person says, okay, we can do something else instead. Demisexual suggests pancakes. Sexual person says, okay. Yay, demisexual.
Sure. I don't know. I don't think I've ever thought to label that, just because that was, I don't know. I guess that was how I was taught sexual came into things.
Well, this is a new term for me. I have a friend. We will bring her on at some point, and I will allow her to explain it.
and I will allow her sir to come on with her and help explain it as well.
And we will grill them.
No, and we can sit there and we will drink Hendrix and bourbon and we will enjoy ourselves.
Yay, podcasting fluid.
Yeah, those are their preferred podcasting fluids. And we could.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we can most likely do that in their apartment. And
this setup is very portable.
Yeah.
For anybody that's curious, we're recording on a MacBook Air and a couple of snowball mics. So,
yeah.
Every time you hear us, you know that we've been snowballing each other for a while.
Always fun.
And beyond that overarching sort of what drives me in terms of kink, the more specific things, I do like some bondage play, domination, submission. I am a bisexual switch, so I guess you could say I'm indecisive, but only if you're joking, otherwise I'll kick you in the nuts.
Careful. There are some people who like that.
This is true. I suppose I should ask. Should I ask permission or should they ask permission for me to? You know what? Never mind.
Tangents.
I like a lot of things. I got partway through my list here. I like bondage,
dominant submission, your bisexual switch, you're indecisive. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. we did that. I like knot work. I like rope play.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of being tied down. It just doesn't do anything to me one way or the other. I think because the joy that I get out of rope work is highly mechanical. I got into rope work, I think, sidelong. I'm an Eagle Scout, and I learned how to tie a lot of different knots. And then later on, I went to a ropes course, and I tied a lot of different knots around a very beautiful, buxom lady. And I found out knots can be fun in a lot of situations.
Yes.
So part of that, I think, is why, and I know I say it wrong, but the shibari, the Japanese rope work, attracts me, is because there's a very particular art to it. There is styling and shape and balance and form, and it's not just a matter of hog tie and utility. It's making a beautiful knot that is also a part of it. And I find that to be really enjoyable on a greater than sexual level that also includes sexual.
I have people that you need to meet.
and like, I've got some Twisted Monk ropes. And I don't know if you know the Twisted Monk, but it's a handcrafted ropes website, and it will put the link in the show notes.
Oh, that's definitely rope is not my thing.
Yeah.
It's not. I could maybe be tied up. I don't know. I've never had anyone actually. With me.
This is the kind of stuff that people listening are going to start questioning our relationship. But I think that you would really enjoy if I tied you up. But I think that.
Yeah.
But I think that you appreciate the aesthetic form in a similar way that I do. So
yeah,
I think you would enjoy that side of it.
I think maybe. I think with the right rope top, I could enjoy it. For me, rope has very little interest because of how long it takes.
Right. And that is an issue.
Like, for me, it's like, if I want to be tied up and restrained, then again, I mean, some of the kinks that I like, it takes a little while. But, and those are some of the ones that I was for a long time like, I'm a freak. I'm so weird.
Still, for the most part, you're talking about it takes a while in preparation and not like, okay, we've started the scene. In about an hour, we'll be done with the setup.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I mean, like, it's rope can take a while just to get the individual tied up.
Yeah.
For me, when it comes to that, I love being restrained. But if I want to be restrained, I want to be restrained within 5 minutes and have it keep going. Not, I'm going to be restrained. And 20 minutes later, okay, now you're tied up.
Right.
Oh. But I think it comes down to the right top, because there are certain other things.
Well, definitely. And like when we talk about rope play in particular, which I'm sure that'll be at least one episode.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about sort of the different ways that process can happen.
Yeah.
But back to my particular proclivities. I'm really broad when it comes to the women I like. You know, I did thin, curvy,
but you don't like broads.
Tall, short. Yeah, I'm all over the place. But when it comes to guys, I tend to be fairly narrow in my focus. I like girly boys.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
And I can appreciate, like, across the board, my partner and I were having a conversation about, I lost his name all of a sudden, the James Bond,
Daniel
most
Craig?
Recent one. Yeah, Daniel Craig. It's like, yeah, he's really hot. And she was going, he's like triangular. That's weird. But that's hot. But I mean, he's way out of my type. I can appreciate sort of the aesthetic further out on that. But when it comes to somebody that I'd like to play with, I mostly like the girly boys.
There's a FetLife group you should join. Anyways.
But yeah, I mean, that's I don't know. I guess that's sort of my basics.
Yeah. No, I think from what I know of you, I think that's kind of your basics. Mm-hmm. Without going into like deep personal details.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Without getting into like particular scenes, that's about everything.
I don't know. I fucking don't know where to start. The best way I could think to describe myself, if you were to force me at gunpoint to give you one word, because if you haven't figured out, I'm kind of mouthy.
We are both somewhat verbose.
Verbose. I think verbose is kind of a sexy word in a way. I don't know why, but something about it, it's kind of hot.
It starts with the V, it's got that hard B in the middle, and then that sibilance at the end.
Yeah, I don't know. So, anyways,
somewhere an English nerd just went, oh, sibilance.
Verbose. if I'm forced at gunpoint to describe myself in a single word, the best word I could give you is queer. And I'm going to do a quickie little brief definition of sorts of queer, to the best
personal definition.
Yeah, well, personal definition. I'm not more of a broad
when
spectrum.
When you say queer, what do you mean?
So, real quick, queer is more of a term used by people who have a need to describe themselves, and there's nothing that really works. More specifically, you could actually, in theory, be a straight individual, meaning you only like women, but you could, in a certain aesthetic, call yourself queer because you happen to also enjoy the company of transgendered women. Which, under the circumstances, some people might be like, oh, you're bisexual because they have a sexual organ of one or another type. But
you can't hear me rolling my eyes, but I am.
Yeah. So that stuff is a whole nother conversation for a whole nother podcast. But no, I call myself queer. And I call myself queer because I identify as a gender fluid, more towards the transgendered role, as far as gender identity, with a proclivity leaning towards women.
As in tend to like.
Yeah, tend to like women. I do like some men, but they are very few and far between. They are very specific men, and they are very enjoyable for me for very specific reasons. And those men are, some of them know that I like them, and some of them don't know that I like them. And it ranges a whole gambit, and I think a large part of that has to do with the energy that they give off. As far as my role...
Did you really just get into
yeah.
energies?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. as far as my role in the BDSM world, I have coined a phrase for myself. I am a submissive sadist. Oh, I had it. It was like SSST or something. It was like really bizarre. Oh, there it is. I just remembered it. It popped back in. I am a submissive sadist service top. Now,
does that mean you actually prefer topping from the bottom?
No. So, I prefer submission.
Okay.
More specifically, I prefer female dominance, male submission. I really like hurting people, though. That's where the sadist part comes in. Give me a flogger, a bag of canes, some clothespins, and I can find a good time.
Fair enough.
Doesn't matter who I'm with. Male, female, transgendered, in between. I'll find a good time.
It's in there somewhere.
Yeah. And then as far as the service top part goes, is it's kind of like your metasexual thing where I really kind of enjoy making them feel good.
Right. So you enjoy topping, but you enjoy topping because they enjoy being a bottom.
Exactly. I have real note, like that whole dominant, I'm a big birdie, man. I'm going to throw my fucking weight around. That fucking energy pisses me off. It makes me feel uncomfortable in my skin. As I said, I'm gender fluid, transgendered. I like wearing women's clothing. I am not a transvestite like Eddie Izzard. I am not a tranny. And if you ever call me a fucking tranny, I will kick you in whatever respected genitals you
then,
have
then
and
we'll
punch
get back
you in
to
the
that
throat.
Enjoy causing pain.
it'll come back to that. Enjoy causing pain. I am on a path and journey of discovering who I am and or need to be happy with who I am as an individual. And part of that is come with the discovery of, oh my God, I would much rather be wearing a skirt and a pair of high heels than a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. But then again, some days I want to wear jeans and a t-shirt, but I really want a set of boobs. So I'll put it to you this. I am a nerdy girl trapped in a hipster guy's body. Exactly. I am a nerdy girl trapped in a hipster guy's body.
I, on the other hand, am happy to rent.
That really kind of sums it up without going into detail on, like, fetishes or kinks or things that I really enjoy. I don't like the word fetish.
You may not have been able to hear, but you might have been able to hear my glare at using the word fetish.
Yeah. I actually really don't like the word fetish.
It's an inappropriate term.
Yeah, it is not a good term for it. I prefer the term kinks. The little quirks and fun shit that it's right. Like, oh, hey, I've got this kink. Not, I've got this fetish. However, I might maybe dive into being okay with the term shoe fetish because, yes, I kind of sort of do in a weird fucked up way have a shoe fetish. But like I said, I'm a nerdy girl trapped in a hipster's body.
So, you know, shoes. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Like the TARDIS spike heels.
Yes. More specifically, I really want a pair of the Jeffrey Campbell, like ugly, like they look like 1970 wedges, but they are painted like the Starry Night with the TARDIS exploding.
That's kind of awesome.
Thank you, Pinterest.
Oh, you're going to have to send me that link.
Yeah.
And I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. yes, I will hunt those down for people and I will let you see them because while they are not the most hot looking shoes, the nerdy girl inside me just goes squee. I probably should have been the nerdy girl inside me goes squee.
Wow. Hey, yeah, watch that peep.
But yeah, I think that is the best way to describe.
Yeah, I think that's a nice description in brief, and I don't think either of us really have any secrets. I don't think there's anything that we're not going to be willing to talk about on here. So if you're listening to this and you're saying, you know, what about this?
Yeah.
Feel free to ask. You might find something that we're going to say, no.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah, like I will not tell you my real name.
Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, in the world of things that one might or might not like.
And by the way, let me also put this out there for you. If I, if at some point I do decide that it's time for me to live full time as a woman and you see me out there in the world and you're like, oh, hey, I listened to your podcast. I know you've got a penis. Will you fuck me with it? No.
Well, fair enough. That's maybe helpful information. I don't know. We'll see. Let's see if we get more than, you know, six people listening to this.
If you're six really hot people, maybe.
So now you're saying you want all six at once, or
maybe.
Well, okay. I don't know. Is there anything else you feel like we ought to cover this time through? I mean, here's where we would, you know, normally, first of all, normally we'd have gotten to this point a lot earlier in the podcast.
But yeah.
This is normally where the email would come up. This is where we'd say, you know.
And now.
And now PinkiePie35 says, what about?
I think I actually know someone with the screen name PinkiePie. Not 35, but I think I know someone. I have to go look. No, I mean, I don't think there's really anything we can add to it. Come back and listen, you know. And
share us, and we're gonna post this on iTunes. So go ahead and go rate us and say we're awesome, and that'll move us up the board, and more people will hear about us. And
yeah,
yay.
Add us. You know, feel free to add us on Twitter. On Tumblr and on FetLife. FetLife. Go check out Facebook. we'll have a FetLife up and maybe I can convince Fox to start a FetLife. Maybe not. Probably not. He's looking at me like, really? Seriously? Because it's, you know, he totally needs another social media aspect in his life.
Oh, yeah, because I don't do nearly enough. our next episode is going to be on language. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of different words. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
I do think that's awesome. But yeah. I'm an English major. So.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's awesome because I think it helps clarify for people who maybe have some level of misconception about something, you know, like the word. Fetish.
Stop using it, you idiots.
even maybe help someone figure out, like, oh, hey, this is what I am. Just giving some basic definitions on some really important parts of who you may be. Sorry for those popping of the peas. We may need windscreens. Just so that you can find who you are and have it presented to you. Cause it took me it took me 15 years to a flip flopping back and forth of being like, I'm a dominant, I'm a submissive, to really kind of figure out where I needed to be happy for myself.
Well, and I hope everybody listening remembers that you are always a work in progress.
Yes.
When you stop changing is when you stop doing anything else. So
yeah.
Anybody that feels that they need to pin themselves to a label and never veer from that path is cutting themselves off at the knee. You know, it's a sad way to go. But we want to help to give you the tools to explore and understand and find more about yourself too.
Yeah. Because the more you can dive into who you are as an individual, the more you'll be able to feel productive in society. And always remember, no matter what you feel, nobody can tell you, nobody but you can tell you how to feel about yourself. Society will always try, but really it's you accepting society's message, telling yourself, this is how I am. So the more you can explore and figure out who you are for yourself, the more positive your own self-image will be.
All right. We don't really have like a catchphrase or an enjoy your burrito or anything yet. Like that. So I'm going to try something like, you know, safe, sane, consensual, game on.
Sounds like that. I like that. I got nothing.
Okay. Email us, tweet us, ask about words, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Kinky and Geeky. This podcast has been distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. That means that you can share a free mix or smash us up or whatever. Just give us credit and don't make money off us.
Beer. It's like,
okay,
the oldest energy drink in the world.
It is. No. There's a on Netflix, there's a documentary called How Beer Saved the World. And literally, that's the thing, is like they used to give beer to the slaves in Egypt.
Yeah.
And like all this stuff, because it was packed with calories. Like it was like food.
Beer. It's bread soda.
Yes. That'll make you really dizzy.
Don't do kids drugs.
Or in Fox's case, will make him want to do naughty things.
I wish you were kidding.